Will the young people come and join me this morning? I didn't think we were going to have any young people this morning. And then everybody showed up. How are you doing? I want to show you something that's very special to me. You know, when I was young, well, actually, I still do now, I had a dad that liked to blow things up. Do any of you have dads that like to blow things up? You're busted. I have a dad, but he's been inside now, so he's not doing too much blowing up stuff anymore. But I had a dad who loved to blow things up. And he was such a kid that he had several carbide cannons. This is a carbide cannon. Now, I've inherited these cannons. I broke the biggest one. And it actually, I don't know how it works because I'm a person who doesn't like to blow things up. But my boys, including John, they use this on occasion. But you know what my dad did? There's warnings all over it that you should never, ever, ever put anything in the end of it because it's dangerous. And so my father whittled dowels to make shells that fit in the end of that because he actually did shoot things out of it. He's just crazy. You know, that's my type. I guess that's where I got it from. But this is a cannon. C-A-N-N-O-N. This is a cannon, and it shoots things, and we all recognize it. We've seen war pictures. Have you seen war pictures where they've had, you know, cannons like this? They are weapons of destruction, really, and that's what they're used for. But I want to talk to you about a different cannon this morning. This is C-A-N-N-O-N, and this is a cannon that is a weapon, but a big fun thing that makes a big loud noise, and that's hopefully what people use it for these days. But there's also a different kind of cannon. There's a different kind of a cannon. Did you know that? You did? What's the cannon that you've heard of?
A.
Go ahead, take your time. They're not going anywhere till we're done.
An army tank.
An army tank. Well, that's this kind of a cannon. They actually would take something like this and they would put this on a tank. That's a C-A-N-N-O-N too. I want to talk to you about a C-A-N-N-O-N. Does anybody know what the cannon is with a big C? Does anybody know what that is? Do you know what it is? It's the Bible. They call the Bible the cannon. Only it's not a cannon like this, C-A-N-N-O-N. It's only one N, C-A-N-O-N. And does anybody know why they call it the cannon? Why? Does it shoot things? It does! Well, it might. If you ever become a pastor, you can preach on that someday. But that's not where we're going today. The cannon is the Bible. C-A-N-O-N. And you want to know why? Because the word that we get cannon from means ruler. It's the rule. It's a measurement. And the canon, the Bible, is the book that all other books are measured by. And so it's called the canon. Did you guys ever know that? Oh, stick with me, I'll teach you a lot. C-A-N-O-N is the canon. And that is the Bible, the canon, because it is the rule of, it is the book, it's the ruler that every other book is measured. So what I want you guys to remember, look at my face, guys. What I want you guys to remember is that the Bible is so important. Look at my face. The Bible is so important that every other book can be measured by. It is the most important book. Not a canon, C-A-N-N-O-N. It is the canon, C-A-N-O-N. So let's bow our heads and pray that we always remember that. Heads back, eyes closed, heads back, eyes closed. Well, Father God, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it is the canon, that it is the ruler, that every other book can be measured by it. And we pray that we would always remember how important that book is, that nothing in life will ever happen to us that we can't find out how to deal with it in that book, the Tanakh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, grab a goodie. Looks like Miss Holly has junior church. Our scripture lesson for this morning is at the end of one of the greatest sermons that has ever been preached. Jesus is coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he does it by talking about two men. Now, these two men raise a question for us this morning. And that question is, what kind of a foundation are we building on? Now, pay attention to the circumstances that were surrounding these two men. They both had the same dream. They both wanted to build a house. Their aspirations were the same. We can make a comparison and see that what Jesus was saying was that they both wanted to build a house. They wanted a good house. They wanted a good life. We can say that they both wanted to have families, since families live in homes. They both wanted good households. And since the church is called the household of faith, we can also assume that they wanted a good ministry. They wanted a life that was going to make a difference. So they wanted to build a life they're proud of, a life that God is proud of. They wanted a family that was strong and stable and happy. They wanted a ministry that was going to make a difference. And I'm thinking all of us really fit in to that category. That kind of pretty much describes all of us, doesn't it? Now, both of these men had the same vision of the future. They had all heard the word. Now, not only did they have this same vision for the future, they were taught the same things. Because Jesus says that both men had heard these words of mine, he says this. And both men were taught the same truths, we're told. We're not talking about one man who knew the truth and the other man that didn't know the truth. Both of the men knew the truth. They heard the same thing. So not only did both of these men have the same vision for the future, wanting the same life, a family, a ministry, a life that made a difference, they knew the same stuff. They had been taught the same things. Not only that, they live in the same place. Now you might say to me, oh, now where did you ever get that from? You know, I know you're wondering, because in the account it doesn't really say where they lived at all, where these houses were, but I know that they live in the same neighborhood because, you see, they both went through the same storm. The same storm came against both of these guys, so they had to live close to each other. Now, everybody here in this sanctuary this morning has been affected by a storm. All of us here this morning have seen terrible storms in our own lives, in the lives of the people we love, in our families, in our personal ministries. Now, if the circumstances might not have been exactly the same, but the one thing that is true of all of us in this sanctuary this morning, we have all been rained on. If you have lived at all, you know that life isn't always sunshine. There is rain, there are tears. But we all share the same vision for a future. We all want a good life. We want a good house. We want a ministry. We want our lives to count for something. And we all face the same storms. Now, those are the things that are the same. Now, I want to point out some things that are different. These guys had different personalities. Jesus calls the first man a wise man, and he calls the second man a moron. And the reason I use that word is because the Greek word that is translated as foolish is the same word that we get our word moron from. Okay, so the first guy was wise, the second guy was a moron. One is wise, Jesus said. A wise man who wants to build a good life, a wise man who is taught what he needs to know, and a wise man who is in a storm. The other man is a foolish man who wants to build a good life, a foolish man who has been taught what he needs to know, and a foolish man who is in a storm. You know, in Scripture, wisdom is considered the ability to take the truth of God and apply it to everyday life. Now, the fool in this story is not a guy who doesn't have the proper information. He has the proper information. He is just a guy who doesn't do anything with that information, the information that he's been given. Proverbs is full of words about fools who hear but don't do anything, who hear the word of God but never act on it. So these men are different. Now, don't think that I'm contradicting myself. It's just that I'm saying that they both had visions for a good life. They both had the proper instruction. They both had storms. So on the outside, they would have looked the same. But in the description that Jesus gives us, he says they were totally different men. And the thing that separated them, the thing that made them so different, was the foundation of their lives, the foundation on which they had built. Jesus said that the wise man built his house on a rock. He said that the foolish man built his house on the sand. So even though the both men had the same vision for the future and the training, the same storm, they didn't have the same foundation for their lives. Now, what's the difference between building on a foundation of rock and building on sand? I could let John come and give this part of the story, or Alan, or just about every man here, maybe some women too. But what were these two men thinking that made one a fool and the other wise? Well, Luke tells us in the story, in Luke 6, if we were to look at chapter 6 and verse 48 in Luke, it says that the wise man dug deep. You know, it costs a lot of money to build on rock. That's what those guys would tell you. It costs money to build on rock. You can build on sand pretty cheap, but to build on rock is hard work, especially if you're going to dig in that rock. Isn't that right, Alan? That's what he does for a living, digs in rocks. Building on sand doesn't take as much time. It takes time and a lot of energy and effort and extra money to go deep in rock. You can be quick on sand. On rock, it takes time. The difference between these two men is the fact that the second man, the foolish man, was building his house for show. The man that was building his house on the rock was building his house to last. Now, the second man, you know what? He wasn't concerned about how long that house was going to be there. He knew it wouldn't last. I mean, he was a fool. He wasn't a dummy. He just wanted to make sure it was there just long enough for people to see it so it looked good and for him to get out. It was for show. It wasn't for the long haul. The guy who built it knew that. You know, on Tuesday afternoon, when I'm here at Christ and I leave the office, if I don't have somewhere I have to be, most times I go to Marciano's for lunch. And unless I take something else to read, I read their placemats. I know them by heart. I know the placemat by heart. It's the same placemat. And on the placemat is a picture of Leaning Tower of Pisa, which I think is just about every Italian restaurant placemat, isn't it? So, well, I don't know if you knew this, but has anyone ever told you why the Leaning Tower of Pisa leans? Do you know why it leans? It's because it's in Pisa. The word Pisa means marshy, apparently, in Italian. The tower was built on a marsh. It was built on mud, and it didn't have a proper foundation. And because it didn't have a proper foundation, it wasn't stable, and every year they say it would, this is what it says in literature, every year it would lean another 1/20th of an inch. Now, I'm not sure they did something to stabilize that or not, but I know that a few years ago it was in danger of collapsing totally, so they must have done something to keep it up. It was built on the wrong foundation. And the only thing the Tower of Pisa is good for, you know what it's good for? Well, it's good to put on placemats, but you know the other thing that it's good for? Tourists. That's it. It's all for show, for people to look at. A life, a home, or a ministry that isn't on the right foundation is just for show. It's just a tourist attraction. Might be a good one, but it's just for show. And you know, I bet, people that have lives like that. Perhaps a family that everyone, that they want everyone to think, you know, they're holier than thou, but, you know, shining bright on the outside, but rotten on the inside. We all know those kind of folks, don't we? We even know families like that. But the biggest difference between the wise and the foolish man is in the end result, because our lesson says that one house stood and the other house fell. And not only did it fall, it fell with a great crash. Jesus went out of his way to tell us how it fell. It didn't just fall down. It fell with a great crash. So what in the world is it that the Lord wants us to learn about this? What is the point of him telling this story? Well, you have to notice something in the passage, and that is, if you were to drive by both of these houses, you wouldn't see a difference. If you were to talk to these two men, you wouldn't really know there was a difference. The only time you find out that there is a difference between these two men in their lives, in their homes, in their ministries, is when the storm comes, is during the storm. Only a storm will peel away a carefully constructed house of cards. Only a storm will show what your foundation is made of. As long as the sun is shining, you can fool anybody. You can convince anybody anything as long as the sun is shining. You know what? As long as the sun is shining, you don't even have to think about what your foundation is built on. But a storm has a way of letting you know. Think about these words of verse 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Whenever you have rain and floods and winds and houses being knocked down, you know what that says to me? That's a hurricane. You know, that's a hurricane. There are times that I wish that the Christian life was really the way some televangelists kind of say that it is. You know, just come to Jesus, you know, everything's going to be fine. Just come to Jesus, all will be well, you will have money in your pocket. You know, just come to Jesus, he will give you the keys to Easy Street. Boy, it'd be easy to pack a church with a message like that. You can build a great show house with that kind of preaching. But according to God's word, there was a hurricane. You know, you have to understand something about foundations. You can't build them when it's raining. You have to build a foundation before it rains. Now, you can build a foundation after it rains, but you cannot build one while it is raining. Whatever foundation that you are going to have, you need to build it before the storm, so that when the storm comes, you're prepared. I love the story of Mark 4. Starts with verse 35. Jesus tells his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. He says they're going over. And then the boat starts filling up with water because there's a big unexpected storm. We all know the story. The disciples wake Jesus up and they say, don't you care if we drowned? You know, they're so upset. Don't you feel like that in storms sometimes? That God doesn't care? Don't you feel that way sometimes? That God just doesn't care? You know, you're a mess. You're in the middle of a storm. You finally want to pay attention to what it is that God has to say to you, and he's sleeping. And you say, don't you care if I drown, man? That's what you feel like saying. I mean, that's not what you say in polite company, but that's what you feel like saying. And Jesus wakes up and says to the disciples in verse 40, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Well, Jesus, we feel like saying, I'm about to drown, that's why you're so afraid. What kind of a question is that? And then Jesus comes to the front of the boat and says, quiet, be still. Now remember, Jesus had told them before they ever got in the boat that they were going to the other side. He told them they were all going to get to the other side. He told them that. We're going to leave here, and we are going to end up on the other side. Storms have a way of making you forget what the Lord says, doesn't he? So the Lord, you know, the Lord might have spoke to you, but the storm comes and you're like, forget that. Storms have a way of causing you to forget the truth of God. Storms have a way of keeping you from remembering what you know very well in the sunshine. Now, the disciples had heard Jesus say, let's go over to the other side. The problem was, in the storm, they forgot that he said that. And I love how the account ends. After Jesus quieted the storm, now they're terrified of the storm. And after he quiets the storm, they're terrified of him. And in verse 21, it says, they were terrified. They're not afraid of the storm anymore. Okay. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They sat up and took notice. You want to know why God allows storms? Because it lets you know what kind of a foundation you're on. The only way you can tell whether you are really resting on the truth of God or not is in a hurricane. There is a lot of difference between saying amen on Sunday and saying amen on Monday in the middle of a storm. There is a lot of difference in worshiping God when all is well and worshiping God when all is wrong. But if your foundation is on the rock, then it will hold you steady when all around you is crumbling. You know, every time you have a hurricane, God has given you a new opportunity to discover what you have built your foundation on. I don't know what storms or hurricanes or tornadoes you will face, because you are either just coming out of one or you're in one right now, and if you aren't, there is one just around the corner. But this is what I do know. Our Savior has come with your storm in mind. He is your foundation. The truth of his word applies to every reality of your life. Foundations are not just information to stand on. The word of God is not just a book that you carry under your arm or you keep dusting when it lays on your coffee table. The word of God is there to help you make decisions. The only difference between these two men was that one just heard and the other one did. I would love to stand up here and tell you that hearing God's word and trusting in Jesus means that there will be no storms in your life. I would love that message, but it would be a lie. What I can tell you is that if you stick with the Lord and his word, you can be assured that whatever storms come, you will not drown. You know, when I was a little girl, I had one of those blow-up clowns. You guys have one of those at your house? One of those blow-up clowns? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It was as tall as I was. I was much shorter then. And no matter how you would hit that clown or knock it over, it would always bounce back up. You don't have one of these clowns at your house? You've got to get one. If you want to fix everything, you need to buy one of these clowns. Anyway, no matter how you knock, I'm assuming they still make them, I don't know, maybe they have lead paint or something, I don't know. But anyway, you knock over this clown, it bounces right back up. And you want to know why? Because there's a heavy weight at the bottom, that's why. And the foundation of the bag has a weight heavier than the rest of the bag, so that no matter what happens to the clown, the blow-up bag, it bounces back up. Now, it would be neat if we could all look at each other and say that, you know, life has no difficulties for us because we believe in Jesus. But that's not what the Bible tells us. That's not what God tells us. That's not what Jesus tells us. That's not even what the Holy Spirit tells us. So nobody else should tell you that either. But what I can tell you is that when the storms of life hit you and knock you down, because of the weight of Christ as your foundation, you will bounce back up. Because the wise man who built his house under rock after the hurricane was over, his house, his life, his family, his ministry, they still were standing. That can be you. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, you know us better than we know ourselves. And even if it is too painful for us to speak out the trial in our life, you know what it is. But we would be so bold this morning to thank you for that trial. Because it reveals to us, to our very selves, who it is we trust, where our foundation is laid. We pray, Father God, that by your grace, our foundation would be in you. For we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.